thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, how many times we've sung this song, God, Any Rivers. Thank you, Lord, that we know. Thank you, Lord, that the words of this song have been made true to our hearts. Lord, thank you, God, that there's nothing impossible in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that what you've called us to, Lord God, you've anointed, God, you've ordained us for these things. Lord, let us just understand the faithfulness, the passion of you, that, Lord, by your faithfulness, Lord God, we walk in the before ordained good works, Lord Jesus. We walk with large steps, God, because you embolden us, Lord God, in your care for us and your love for us, Jesus. Lord, help us to just again be the mighty men of God, Lord, like a David, Lord God, as he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would blaspheme the things of God? And Lord, the things that are going on in households and in lives today, God, that the enemy is, again, just lying, Lord, and pretending somehow that we're bound or chained. God, whom you have made free is free indeed, Lord Jesus. And we're thankful again for the liberty that is in Christ. Lord, let this again, this word work effectually today, Lord God. And we lay hold of all the grace that you have given, that abundant grace, the liberty, Lord God, the soaring power of the eagle, Lord God, to overcome, Jesus, as you have overcome. Thank you for the power of your might. Thank you for the life, Lord God, your life that lives in us. We give you the praise, the honor, the thanksgiving, and someday the face-to-face hug and embrace and kiss. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles to Song of Solomon chapter 4. That's Song of Solomon chapter 4. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Song of Solomon 4. And we'll begin to read from the 16th verse. Awake, O north wind. That's bold. Awake, O north wind. I believe that's Paul saying, I glory in my infirmities. Amen. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden. Let the spices thereof. That the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Awake, O north wind, blow upon my garden. Praise God. The necessity, the absolute necessity of the north winds, the cold north winds, and I'm talking about the cold north winds of life. That's the only force, the only thing that can cause this fragrance of our lives. The fragrance. There's a fragrance, praise God, in your life that Christ has given. That's the only way that that fragrance blows out, that sweet-smelling incense to be enjoyed by our love, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the Word of God, it's such an intimate love story. I pray that we just continue to abound in it more and more. It's not a study book. It's your love story. It's the love story of God's plan for you and his son. And praise the Lord. And this plan that is talked about, the plan of ages past that he saw in his son. The plan that the father and the son, when the father said to him, Son, it's not good for man to live alone. You're going to have a wife. Hallelujah. And we know that God has typed and shadowed that bride for his bridegroom throughout all the scriptures. It's marvelous as the Lord begins to enlighten the eyes of our understanding by the Holy Ghost. A sister just got filled here the other day, and I'm excited for her because that's the purpose of this age, praise God. Is that abounding in all truth, that being led and guided into all truth, the mystery of Christ Jesus and the bride, as Jesus told his disciples so sweetly. Isn't it wonderful how much he loved those disciples? And he loved them so passionately. And you know, they were thinking they were servants. And he says, oh, no, you're my friends. I love that. Jesus is my friend. And he's been a friend to me all my life. And I'm so grateful what a friend Jesus has been. But I think, whoo, sometimes I get to thinking about my friend. He tears me up. But I think about how, you know, he loved him so much. And, you know, as much as they didn't want him to go, you know, he had that love. You know, he loved so much. You know, he cried, Lazarus. You know, Lazarus was dead. You know, he cried that he knew, you know, as a man, he knew that separation in a sense. And here he is loving those disciples so much. He tells them, he says, you know, brothers, I have to go, you know. But there's a reason I'm going. The reason is I love you so much. I love so much that I want you to have this same love, my love, shed abroad in you love. I mean, just like that means shed abroad means a geyser, a gusher going up. That's how I love you guys. But you can't even understand that. You can't understand a lot of things. And sometimes I think, you know, the Lord, what patience. You think about how frustrated he should have been. but he knows his creation. Amen. But how sweetly he said, I'm going to send that Holy Spirit. You know, I've got to ascend and take my seat at the right hand of the Father. But the reason I'm going there is to send you the Holy Ghost. See, there was a purpose in that. And that purpose is very definite. It's very specific. And he tells them, because there's many things I've wanted to say to you for these last 3.5 years, but you can't understand them. Amen. Says it just as clear as that, right there in John. But he says, this Holy Spirit, he's been with you, and he shall be in you. And when he's in you, when you receive this infilling of the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth. Praise God. And what a time it's been, and how exciting and encouraging this is. But this is what this is, brothers and sisters. And see, the Lord is so descriptive in his word about this relationship. And one of the things that we're reading here early on this morning is this smell, this aroma that he wants to smell of her. You know, it's a perfume. It's a fragrance. It's an anointing that is an ecstasy. If you want to say this, it's an ecstasy to him. And it's very descriptive through the word of God about the smell of the bridegroom and the bride. And in Psalm 45, it talks about the smell of the bridegroom. It says he smells like myrrh. He smells like cinnamon. But then the bride, her aroma is as the sweetest forest. It's even beyond a garden. He says it's such an aroma. It's as Lebanon, this forest. And let's go ahead and read. It's in the same chapter that we're in the Song of Solomon. Let's read from the 9th verse. And again, this is the bridegroom speaking about the bride. This is Jesus, praise God, and his absolute, intimate, romantic heart for you. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. One of the most wonderful, put it right where it's at, double portion verses of the word of God. Isn't that amazing? You know, I could get kind of funny and say, no, this isn't speaking about Arkansas. Never mind. Okay. But, got to pay attention. But it's my sister and my spouse. This is so beautiful. This is so wonderful. It's because, hallelujah, this is the double portion to God. That, praise the Lord, as we become the children of the Lord, in a sense, in this type as a sister, in a sense, of the family of God. Yes, we're sons of God, but in this type, it's of that family of God. But yet, there's the double portion that he doesn't want you just to remain a child. But he said that we should be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's Romans 8. That we should enter in from that relationship from a child of God as this sister, as well as a double portion as the spouse of Jesus Christ. And you think about the double portion to the Father. It's so wonderful. I remember when my sweet uncle was just rejoicing with his sweet little grin about the Lord. And he said, oh, a double portion to the Father. A son and a daughter-in-law. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful to think about that? How beautiful the relationship in the family of God is. It's just, it's marvelous. But you see here, it says, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. See, just a glance of her and he's just melted. You know, have you ever been in love like that? He's in love like that. When you take Paul's gospel, you ravish him. When you believe in the bridal truth for your life, Jesus is absolutely smitten. And I've said it, and you can say that I'm goofy or whatever it is, but I'm going to stay goofy in my little wonderful romantic heart with Jesus, because his heart is romantic. But it's like little Thumper, you know. It's just like, if you ever remember that little Thumper, you know, it just, because it was just such a passionate, the beat. That's, in a sense, I mean, you can say, oh, well, come on, this is Jesus. No, you better come on, this is Jesus. He talks about a young roe heart. This is a love affair. This is the beauty of the relationships and all of the aspects. He is all in all. Praise God. The Godhead. Hallelujah. The Father. Hallelujah. The friend. Amen. The brother. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've called you brethren. We have that family relationship. But then praise be to God, we know that we've got the ultimate. He has called us into a bridal relationship. This can't be denied. It's there. It's all over throughout the Word of God. You have to basically choose not to see it. You have to say, I refuse to see this. And it could be because of a religious background. It could be because of a lot of different things. But I'm going to tell you what it is. It's because you're just being stubborn. How about read the Word of God and receive the Word of God for what the Word of God says? What a novel idea and a concept, is it not? To receive what the Word of God says. Why should you, somebody just pick and choose what you should hear? Or wait a second, we'll just go ahead and teach it. Yes, you do need a teacher, but by the grace of God, you need to hear. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And we're so thankful to God that we know that we have this ear that he gives us. So again, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. Again, he has to say it again. You're my double portion. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thy ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. He's in love. Come on. This is incredible. This is Christ again speaking. Again, in this wonderful, and we call this type and shadow. This isn't type and shadow. This is what it is. This is love. This is passion. These are love letters, the specifics, the depth of it. And this is what he is speaking of here, this great love for those that will enter in to that wonderful place that he has given us to enter into, and that's called the bride of Christ. Amen? Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's the wedding ring. That's Paul's gospel. This is what this is. And when you lay hold of that, that's what ravishes his heart. Isn't that something, how we can get so, really, just so stupid in our minds, thinking somehow, I'm going to do a good work and God's going to be pleased for my good work. You know what? The working he wants to have is the working of grace, this divine grace, this grace of this wonderful bridal message to be sown in your life and just absolutely a blooming in your life, a blossom, praise God, to him, that becomes this sweet-smelling incense, this aroma. Praise God. And when you fall in love like this, again, just type it in your life. Remember those times when you were so passionately in love. You didn't think about a thing. There wasn't anything else that got in. You know, people would try to tell you something. Huh? No, really. And I love it. It always makes me laugh when I get a counsel with these young kids getting married and stuff. You mean I need a job? Yeah. You mean we can't live on love? No. But they don't care. 50-50, they go out there and get married, and then boom, it hits the wall. But the point is just that love and that absolute passion. And that's what God, again, when that mind, his mind, this mind of this love story dwells in us, man, it's just, there's nothing else that gets in. Amen? See, this is what fights that good fight of faith. It's that love faith, praise God. Now, goes on to say here again, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. The smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. So here we have this wonderful fragrance that only the lovers recognize in one another. And it's interesting because our scientists, God has allowed them to find out a few things. And they've discovered that there is a special distinct smell between those that are truly in love with each other. It's a special thing But even a special one of those, a pheromone is what they call them. And it's something that only our brain recognizes, that we're not even aware of. It's kind of like a hidden part. And it's a scent that specifically and uniquely that attracts that one and that one and only person to us. You know? So when, you know, brothers, and they say, how did you ever get hurt? Say, I got a pheromone. You know, I don't know. You know, it's something like that, you know. Okay. But I'm just giddy in the Lord this morning, and I'm happy. So I pray that we'll be happy in Him. So, but we see that's just it with what we're talking about here in these north winds. Because, see, the north winds, they're cold. Amen? They're biting. They're uncomfortable. Let's just be honest. And they blow through our garden. And but, see, without those winds blowing, none of this beautiful, attractive scent would ever be enjoyed by Him. Now, where the Lord really began to minister this to me was last Monday. We were out visiting a saint, and it was getting to be about dawn time. And we got out of the place we were visiting. Polly was with me and my mom. And I said, oh, my goodness. Right when we were walking out, that wind just hit. And I was like, oh, this hurts. You know, it was starting to remind me back of the, you know, some of the times that I've been out in some really cold weather, but it hurt and it was biting. And I said, man, this north wind, it just bites. And so we were literally running to the car to get in. So we got in the car and started to drive. And Polly got a little text and from one of our sons and said, our mountain's on fire. So I don't know if you know about that fire that I had up in Green Mountain. That's where we live. And so I said, what? He said, yep. And so when we were driving, I could smell the smoke in the car. And I mean, we were at least 15 miles away, but that smoke was so apparent. But once we turned on about 6th Avenue heading west towards Wadsworth, I saw it. And it really did. The mountain was starting to look like a volcano. If you saw it, it was really cool how everything was going on. But it really wasn't cool at the first part because we could see where the fire line was when it was just starting. And the closest subdivision to that fire line that was just starting was right where we live. So we were starting to get the text from the neighbors that they were getting us ready to evacuate and all of these different things. So, you know, there was a little bit of anxiety in the car and different things like that. But the Lord, immediately, as I saw where that fire line was, He immediately told me about the north wind. And I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. The north wind's going to save my home. So even though it started the closest to my home, the wind coming from the north took that fire and shot it right over the other side of the hill, down upon other houses. But it wasn't mine. So, He wasn't going to let it touch my house. He wasn't going to let it touch my house. Go on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are troubled. This is verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That north wind, it hurts. That north wind is cold. That north wind is uncomfortable. It's a miserable thing. But as it did with that fire by my house, that north wind is what keeps us from being destroyed. And that's truth. That's such truth. Brothers and sisters, sometimes these north winds, I get it. They come in so suddenly. And it's a sudden catastrophe. The Apostle Paul even wrote about it. He said, even these things, don't call them strange. Fiery trials, those ones that hit, unknown. And I'm talking about even those that the Lord's been very gentle on my heart with some things. I mean, things that you've laid up and trusted God for and with for years and years, and then yet something got in there. And you can say, but Lord, your word said, oh yes, His word does say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And His words say those cold north winds, they've got to blow. So, brothers and sisters, sometimes we think
that a north wind is there to destroy us. But I'm going to tell you something. He meant it for good. He's meant it for good. Those things oftentimes that we think are going to destroy us, brothers and sisters, are the very thing that saved us. I was thinking so sweetly. You think about Job. You know, his entire family, but for his wife, all his kids, they were taken from him. They died. His wealth was taken. There was Joseph. He was betrayed of his own brothers. He was sold into slavery for all of those years. But it was all for a double portion with God. Is your faith enough by the grace of God for you to see that? Do we really see that this is but a vapor life and God is thinking about eternity with you? Isn't that something? You know, it is. And you really think about, again, an engagement time. You know, a lot of times, you know, you're thinking, oh, this lasts so long, or, you know, the things that have to go on in this engagement time. But he's thinking about this forever wedding bliss. And he wants us to have the very best with him. And he knows. You don't know. But God knows. And God has an absolute perfect plan for your life. And by the grace of God, you know what? He even knew you in the womb. It started by the grace of God, at least for you and for me, right when we were born. Every divine thing along the way. The parents, the lack thereof. However you got here today, by the grace of God. The good education, the no education. The good job, the no job. The wonderful marriage, a divorce. Whatever it would be, do you believe God? That he is a God that is a God of perfect love? Perfect love. That loves you so intimately and divinely that if it was any other way, that you would have never received this. And let me ask you this, in knowing what you know in Paul's gospel and the grace of God that is with you, that you know this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, this rare thing, this goodly pearl that, again, he came to search out. Hallelujah. It has to be you. Was it worth it? Were all the north winds that have come in your life, all of the strange fire that has just hit, but by the grace of God you say, oh, this ain't strange. The Apostle Paul said, you're going to suffer in like manner. It's required. It's a gift of due benevolence. It's a wedding gift between us, honey. You're going to suffer together with me because you're going to be glorified together with me. Is it worth it? Think about it. Is it worth it? Would you change your life at all? Would you change something about your life to give that up? Would you say, Lord, it would just be worth it if I could go back and we could just undo this, but I'm going to give that back? No. You'd look at me and say, you're crazy. I get his love. I get this by the grace of God. It couldn't be any other way. Praise God. Now you think about a Ruth. Her husband dies. They're broke. You talk about a north wind about as bitter as it could be. But if you know the story of Ruth, there was even a better thing that was waiting. Could you imagine that? How could she see that? She couldn't. You could just, the only way you can do it by the grace of God is go by faith. Say, I believe he loves me. I can't see this, but I know he's got it. I can't feel this, but I know he's holding me. But see, without that wind, she would have never walked into the inheritance and the love of a husband named Boaz. She would never been in the very lineage of Jesus Christ. How about the north wind of an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba? Think about that. The adulterous relationship with a Bathsheba. That's a north wind. Now, a lot of folks would say, oh, that's not north wind. That was self-induced suffering. Well, God is so gracious. Let me remind you of Romans 8:28. And I'll tell you what, I embrace that verse fully. How about you? Huh? So, let's get back to the north wind in that. So here comes the ridicule. Here comes the loss of a son. And yet God's plan was always in Bathsheba as David's wife. You think God had to change his plan? God don't change his plan. This is God's plan. God's plan was always in that Bathsheba. God's plan is always in his great, great grace in our great, great failure. See, without her, there's no Solomon. Without her, we go on and on. No temple. Without her, all of these different things. Sure, God could have done anything. But that was the only way, the way of the north wind, that was going to bring about that best. Got to quit thinking with this. And God, let this be thinking for you. Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters. This is rejoicing time. Now we know, we all know these winds. We've been tested by these winds. But trust God and live the testimony of the faithfulness of God in the wind. And for those that are in the wind today, this bitter wind, the wind that feels like, God, you're killing everything. How about lifting up your hand saying, thank you, God, you're saving me. That was pretty pitiful. How about lifting up your hand and saying, thank you, God, for saving me. Amen. But really, truly, amen. Let him bring that faith and assurance to your life. Thank you, God, for saving me. How about this, truly, by the grace of God? Thank you, God, for saving my child. Amen. See, I think a sister back there knows that. Praise God. Now, that's by the grace of God when we know that he's not only sparing us, but through it, brothers and sisters, he's going to give you his best. See, wait and believe. Don't wait and be anxious. Why ruin that time? Amen? Enjoy the dinner for two. And it is. Because no one else is going to understand but Jesus. And as you start to fret, he's grabbing your hands across the table. Honey, look into my eyes. Look into my eyes. Huh? Do you see him like that? Sometimes he has to grab my face and he's looking at me this way. Look at me. Look at him. Amen? Oh, it's so wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. See, wait and believe, and soon the truth will be made known. Soon the power of his love will be made plain. In his faithfulness, he's promised us, he's afflicted you. Did you hear that again? In his faithfulness, he hath afflicted you. Through the pressing, he brings the anointing oil. All throughout your life, through the ashes come forth the beauty. See, the only way he can smell those beautiful spices, and the spices that his truth and his love, his spirit and truth has sown in you and now wants to be reaped in you. The only way they come forth is that north wind. That's the testing, right? Come on now. You know you like to get out there on a warm Chinook wind day and sit there. Oh, man, this feels great. How about getting out there tomorrow when it's about 9 below out in the yard and say, whoa, this feels great. Then get back inside real quick. But again, just to get that in your heart to understand. Praise the Lord. Didn't he say in all things to be thankful? Oh, convinced of him. Praise be to God. Brothers and sisters, he's smelling you this morning. He's smelling you. There's an aroma. Praise God. And it ain't you. It's called Paul's gospel in your life. And it's the sweetest aroma to him. Let him get a whiff. Say, oh Lord, get a whiff of me today. Amen. Yeah, get a whiff. Hallelujah. Let him enjoy you as you've enjoyed him. Let him, praise God, this aroma that only a wife can emit to him. How about saying it this way? A Holy Ghost pheromone of the bride of Christ to the bridegroom. And I'll tell you what, when he starts to smell you like that, I'll tell you, he gets ravished. Can you see him ravished for you this morning? Really, as you believe the word of God, isn't that wonderful? The likes of you, the man despises. They just pass by you. They shake their head about you. But you can say today, oh no, he's getting a whiff of me. He's smelling on me. He's ravished by me. Hallelujah. He's ravished by Christ in me, the hope of glory, that promise. Praise God. He's looking through that lattice at me. He's saying, Father, can I please go get her today? Come on. I know he's there saying that. I know he's saying that. Praise God. I know he's saying that about me by the grace of God. Oh, he smells so nice. I've had people tell me I don't smell nice at times. But he tells me I smell so nice. And he's telling the Father, you know what? Can I go get her today? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. And thank you again for truth. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Thank you for the simplicity of the bridal message. It's a simple thing. It's a cookie on a shelf. Lord God, help every life that's hearing this today. And Lord, again, by your Spirit, that this is something that is so easy to be had. You have given it freely. Lord, let us just enter in and take it, Lord Jesus, and just embrace it. And Lord, as we face these things, to truly say in the name of Jesus, let the cold wind blow. Let the north winds come. Come on, north wind. Because Lord, I know it's then that you're pleased. I know it's by these things that you get excited. There's an ecstasy in you, Lord Jesus, that you know that the sufferings of you are being shared by me. Thank you for that grace. The grace of God that enlightens my eyes. That enlightens my heart to embrace this truth. To truly to say thank you, Jesus, in all things. That everything doesn't have to be working out the way that I think. Everything doesn't have to be coming up roses for my life. That, Lord, sure that I apply myself. And I, again, by the grace of God, all the work that you've given this life to do, I want to do it as unto you fully. But God, the conclusion of it all, how it's going to work out, it's in your hands. I know you put up whom you will. I know whom you put down whom you will. I know the hearts of the kings are in your hands. And you direct them just as you do the rivers, Lord God. But I know one thing. I call upon the name of the Lord God of hosts. And in Jesus' name you hear me, Lord. And I know you love me, Lord. And I know you care. And in Jesus' name, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. May the people here believe, Lord God, I'm met for the bride of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.